Twins and Reds, game two of the three-game set at Target Field, and the Tigers gaining ground, others gaining ground in this wild card race. Kansas City heating up. They already have a win under their books, under their belts, as they try and reel in Cleveland in the American League Central. And joining us to talk Twins and Reds, Bobby Nightingale from the Star Tribune. Bobby, good to visit with you. And we should remind folks, not only do you cover the Twins now, but you used to cover the Reds. So this has got to be kind of a fun weekend for you.
Yeah, it's fun. Getting to see a lot of familiar faces. Almost feel like Kyle Farmer. Also, feel like I've covered him forever, and he's, you know, one of the most popular players here right now, just with how much he's been talking to both sides of the dugouts.
Yeah, and the Reds got a big grand slam from a really good young player that blew the game open on Friday night.
Yeah, I mean, Ellie De La Cruz, I mean, he's one of those potential faces of the sport type guys. I mean, you know, obviously Aaron Judge, Bobby Witt, but if you go on physical tools, he's got to be right up there. I mean, I think he's the fastest player in the league, has the strongest arm, hits the longest homers. You know, I think exit velocity, he ranks top 1% of the league. So all that, you know, as a 6'6" shortstop, I mean, it's kind of one of those guys you rarely see, you know, one of those once-in-a-generation type athletes, and leads the league in stolen bases. And as you saw yesterday with the grand slam, has a ton of power when he's able to connect with the pitch.
Yeah, and what's amazing, we've kind of been spoiled by young players with a lot of talent, Royce Lewis and all the grand slams, but that was De La Cruz's first Major League grand slam.
Yeah, you almost take for granted how Royce made it look so easy early on in his career. And but yeah, I mean, it's one of those, I feel like grand slams are just one of those that you, obviously getting bases loaded opportunities aren't in your control, so you have to run into a lot of them, but it seems like Royce just, for whatever reason, always has a knack. I mean, he's had a few this year, you know, bases loaded opportunities and hit one off the wall for, I think, a three-run double recently. So just one of those guys that the situation always seems to find him.
A little more on Friday night before we take a look at the remainder of the series and the stretch drive here for the Twins as they try and get into the postseason. Bailey Ober gave up the home run early, then settled in, and then things got ugly in the seventh.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those, he was cruising until he wasn't, had kind of a three-batter situation. I mean, one was a triple off the wall, that hurts, gave up a run on a squeeze bunt, which, you know, that was one, what can you do, gave up another hit that turned into another run, and then finished strong. I mean, he struck out his last two guys, but for as well as he's pitched lately, you know, he only gave up one run and two hits in his last two starts entering yesterday, so he had raised the bar pretty high. Wasn't able to get quite that successful, but I mean, if you know Jorge Alcala doesn't give up that grand slam, you know, he pitches 6 2/3 with only giving up three runs, still a quality start, would have kept the team in the game. I mean, it would have been a 3-1 game, so probably had a worse line, pitching line, than he deserved. But it, you know, just the fact that how much the Twins are counting on him and Pablo Lopez to kind of shoulder the load with such a young rotation. You know, he's been quite consistent. It was just one of those, an inning kind of spiral just for, you know, three batters that ended up being the difference.
We ended up talking about it on the post game show on Final Pitch here on CCO. The Reds pitching has been on a roll as of late. They've been getting very good pitching so far in September.
Yeah, it's very surprising because they've had a ton of injuries to their starting rotation, like Hunter Green. One of the better young starters, an all-star this year. He's been on the injured list. And I think if you go by, like, their top five starting pitchers this year, like the guys who have made the most starts, none of them are healthy, and one of them got traded away. So, you know, they've kind of had to do a makeshift rotation with a bunch of rookies. And, you know, yesterday was Julian Aguiar's sixth career start. The guy today pitching for them, Nick Martinez, has kind of been a mix between starter and reliever. So they've been kind of making do, and those guys have been pitching well. You know, they're not really in the playoff race, which is kind of the unfortunate thing for them with how well they're pitching. But it's one of those, I think when you look around the league, you look at like other Twins, you know, you don't want to be in the spot where you're starting three rookie starters in a playoff race. But yeah, that's just kind of the reality for a lot of teams, is it's just not a lot of healthy starting pitching out there.
Bobby Nightingale joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Twins and Reds tonight, game two of the three-game set at Target Field. Simeon Woods Richardson will be on the mound for the Twins. And it goes without saying, he has been a good story much of the year. He's filled a huge role. And I don't want to say it's come out of nowhere, but he has certainly stepped up with the opportunity.
Yeah, I would say almost came out of nowhere. I mean, if you looked at kind of his numbers last year in AAA, it was pretty inconsistent of a season. I mean, if you squinted, there was some positives at the end of the year, but came into this spring training throwing a lot harder than he did in the past, getting a lot more swings and misses, and seems like he's kind of hitting like a fatigue wall lately. His last three starts, he hasn't been able to complete five innings, and his velocity's down. But you look at what he was able to do throughout the entire summer. I mean, I don't know if the Twins are in this position in the wild card race, especially, you know, still holding a lead if this wasn't for him. I mean, you look at where Louis Varlet struggled in April. They were kind of in a tough spot. Chris Paddock's injury and the way Simeon Woods-Richardson pitched, you know, he wasn't a top-rated prospect entering the season, just the way he was able to give them quality innings. And he's still one of the youngest guys on the team. You know, that was huge for them.
Bobby Nightingale joining us from the Star Tribune ahead of the Twins and Reds. Lineup card 5:30, first pitch 6:10 from Target Field. Looks like the weather is going to cooperate. As a matter of fact, the skies, the clouds are going to thin out. Low tonight, 66, and the weather looks good for the final game of the homestand tomorrow before the Twins head for Cleveland and Boston. Final road trip of the regular season coming up, and then they return home to take on the Marlins and the Orioles to close it out. Let's get to the good news for the Twins. Byron Buxton back in the lineup. Hit a home run last night that tied the ball game at 1-1. Huge to get him back, even though the club and Byron admitted he's not 100%. He's ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, Carlos Correa's back today, and neither of them are 100%. I mean, it's one of those. There's 15 games left in the season. The team's only up 2.5 games in the wild card race. You know, if you're up 7 or 8 games in the wild card and you feel like you're going to make the playoffs, you know, maybe you can wait another week and see what happens. But they don't really have that luxury right now. And especially what those guys bring defensively, they need them out there. So, you know, fighting through it, obviously when Byron Buxton is, you know, healthy or at least semi-healthy and connects with one, he can still do what he did yesterday and drive one out of the ballpark. And they're hoping Correa can kind of pick up and where he was at an all-star level before he went on the injured list right before the all-star break. But it's one of those all hands on deck. I mean, you're seeing it. Griffin Jackson's pitching multiple innings. You know, they haven't been shy about going to the bullpen early with some of these rookie starters if they get in trouble early. So, but you know, you can definitely see the urgency this last week and a half or so. And you're going to see it continue for the next 2 weeks. I mean, there's just not much breathing room right now in the wild card race.
And Bobby, your lead on Carlos Correa today, talking about trying to come back, and your colleague at the Star Tribune, Phil Miller, has alluded to this as well, that he's been willing to try anything, and that's different shoes and so on and so forth. And you get into that right out of the gate in your story today.
Yeah, so he's wearing a different pair of New Balance cleats. You know, it looks different if you look at it like upside down, the way the cleats are. At the bottom of the shoe is a little different than most players. So I'm guessing that's to give him a little bit more support for his heel than, you know, the normal guy who's running. But it's one of those, you know, it was something that bothered him for months. He had plantar fasciitis last year, and it's a lot more painful this year, he said. And up until about a week ago, it was unplayable for him. So the fact they were able to find a solution and find treatments that are able to get him on the field, that was that's a big win, especially if he's able to kind of play in the big moments like he did last year. I mean, you saw what he did in the playoffs when he was semi-healthy last year. If he can just play at that level and kind of elevate the rest of the team, I mean, that's huge going into the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, and Bobby, him not even going on a brief rehab assignment is a little unusual. He's been on the shelf for a while. He last played before the All-Star break. So in that case, he's taken some live BP. They brought in some minor leaguers, and he deems himself ready to go.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, they brought in 4 guys from high A to pitch to all their injured players, Buxton, Correa, Max Kepler, and Manuel Margot. And, you know, that's instead of sending them, you know, St. Paul Saints are in Columbus, Ohio right now. So instead of sending Correa to Columbus and saying take a couple days and it's a little bit more controllable. You know, you can get as many at-bats as you want with these live at-bats, as many as the pitchers can throw. So you can get more than you can get in a normal game. You can kind of do more things defensively. Some games you only get two or three balls hit to the shortstop. Some games you hit 10 or 11. So able to control the variables a little bit more. So it kind of worked out that way. I think in a perfect world, he definitely would have taken a rehab assignment just to prove he's healthy and has his swing back. But just kind of shows where they're at. I mean, when you can't afford to lose two games or three games in these final 2 weeks with the Tigers kind of playing as well as they are, you know, it's one of those that kind of forced their hand and said, okay, no rehab assignment, just kind of go off of what you did against the minor league pitchers and, you know, hope for the best. But, you know, Byron Buxton looked fine when he took his swings yesterday with the homer. So, you know, maybe that's a model that works for them in September with just using the minor league pitchers.
And he will be in the lineup, of course, tonight and bat six. And we'll have a sneak peek at that lineup a little bit later on, but Carlos Correa will be at short and bat six tonight in the Twins lineup. Hey, Bobby, always good to visit with you. We really appreciate the time you give us.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right, there he is, Bobby Nightingale, Star Tribune. And once again, at the website, startribune.com, he's got a piece on Carlos Correa's return to the lineup.